The University of Idaho continues to be in the spotlight for the mishandling of a sexual assault complaint that happened more than 5 years ago. It all started in April 2013 when three different women accused a football player of sexual harassment and assault. The complaints were not reported by the athletic department to the Dean of Students' Office for investigation as required by university policy. Fast forward 5 years. U of I Athletic Director Rob Spear has been on paid administrative leave since April 3rd, while two independent investigators research his department's handling of sexual assault and harassment complaints. Chad Cripp, the Idaho Statesman reporter who broke this story, joins us live in studio to get us updated on the very latest. So, Chad, welcome.
Thank you.
Can you just briefly describe what happened 5 years ago?
Yeah, so you know, this happened at a time that there was some transition in terms of how to handle these kind of situations. The federal government had come up with some new guidelines, mm-hmm. and the university was changing policy to match those. And these cases just weren't handled the way they were supposed to have been handled in terms of who they were reported to. And and what they were done with them at that point. And so in this case, there were three incidents that involved the same football player from November of 2012 through April of 2013. And nobody ever kind of put those three together because they weren't reported correctly.
How did it come to light, though? How did you find out about this?
So Maren Jameson, the diver who was sexually assaulted in April of 2013, wrote about her experience in late January. Of this year. And, inspired by the Me Too movement and some of those things, decided to tell her story not only about what had happened to her, but also about how it had been handled and some of the mistakes that were made. And so we reached out to her and ended up doing a story.
Once you ran the story, what happened from there?
Yeah, so there was some people, some students particularly at the University of Idaho who were not very happy about the way it was handled. Kind of put their frustrations on Rob Spear, the athletic director. The student senate started pushing to have him resign or be removed from his position. And in the middle of that, so there were two senate meetings back to back Wednesdays, and in between those two was when we reported about the incident from November of 2012, because we didn't know about that originally. And when that came out, that kind of pushed it over the edge that the university decided they needed to do something. They put him on put Rob Spear on administrative leave for 60 days while they investigate not only these incidents but any others that have perhaps come up over the last few years to see how these are being handled and if there's a problem they need to fix.
And the night that the Senate voted, and they did a 10-5 vote it came out 10-5 to ask for Spear's resignation. He showed up at that meeting.
He did.
Correct? And he was able to speak to the Senate.
He was. And he spoke for, I want to say like 30, 40 minutes, answered questions. He may have actually hurt himself by doing that. So the story we had this week was part of his talk that night was that the university put an emergency policy in February of 2012 to comply with the new federal guidelines in terms of how sexual assault cases had to be reported. And in this case, the issue was the sexual assault happened off campus. Previously at the University of Idaho, if an assault happened off campus, the university could not investigate it. They could not do university discipline on it.
Because it was off campus.
Because it was off campus. In 2011, the federal government said, no, that's you have to investigate these off campus. So they put in this emergency policy in February of 2012, expanding their jurisdiction off campus. Part of Rob Spear's speech to the students, he brought a lawyer with him, had a bunch of documents, and basically made the pitch that this was a temporary policy that was never made permanent. And so as a temporary policy that was never made permanent, it would expire in 6 months, so that technically he wouldn't have violated the policy through what happened in this case.
But if it was a temporary policy, was he arguing that he didn't have to follow it because it was a temporary policy?
He was arguing that it had expired because it would expire in 6 months, which would have been August of 2012.
Oh, and the assault happened in
April of 2013.
Okay.
So because of that, we immediately reached out to the university and started gathering documents and facts. And it took a little while to track it all down. But the story this week was that he was wrong, that the policy was actually made permanent in May of 2012. Was in force at the time. And he might have picked a fight there that he maybe shouldn't have. And so, we ended up with lawyers and university talking back at each other this week about, you know, and now the push is a little bit more that, well, okay, maybe it was permanent, but I should have been trained better. You know, that was another thing that he said at that meeting was that there was no training at the time. And that one we've struggled to find any information about because the records aren't great.
We're speaking with Chad Cripp. He is the Idaho Statesman reporter who broke the story about the University of Idaho mishandling sexual assault allegations. If you have any questions right now about this case and about the investigation, you can always email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Tweet us, KBSX 91.5, hashtag Idaho Matters, or go onto our Facebook page, Boise State Public Radio. Let's go back, Chad, to what you were just talking about with the idea that the university actually gave you a statement as well. And basically in the article, they stated, and I believe it came from the University of Idaho spokesperson, Jody Walker, that all employees need to be trained. And it is basically the employee's responsibility to be trained. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, I don't know. It's quite to the point of it's their responsibility to be trained, but it's their responsibility to be aware. And an email was sent to all employees. It was not, you know, and it's a little weird because I've been told that the process is there probably would have been an email that was sent when the emergency policy was put in place. They have not been able to locate that. You know, it was 5 years ago mm-hmm. or 6 years ago.
And to be fair, there has been a lot of turnover at the yes. University of Idaho. I do think to be fair, there have been three presidents in that time. There's also been a changeover in who their communications spokespeople are, even who head those departments. Do you think that has played into some of the confusion?
I think there was definitely. And it's not just this case. I've run into a lot of issues that happened in the same time span from like 2012 to 2014.
At the University of Idaho.
And that was, as you said, the time where there was a lot of turnover in the president's office, which obviously that leads to turnover other places. And yeah, I do think that was a factor. This football player situation, there was when the first incident happened, they had an interim football coach. And then the next two happened. It was a new football coach. So yeah, I think all of that has played a role in what's happened here. Going back to the email, I mean, there was an email sent to all staff that said, "Here's a link to all the new policy changes that were approved, recently approved." And yeah, their statement was, you need to be aware of those things. You can't just ignore that. You got to go look at it and see what's there.
And Rob Spear is the athletic director. We're not talking about someone who may be working part-time at the university who may get this email and browse through it. Is there an argument to be made that in the position that he is in, he should absolutely be aware and up to date on what the policy is?
Yeah, and that was a big part of the student senate meeting. You know, a couple of the senators made exactly that point, that if you're at that level, you need to be responsible for knowing these things. You also need to be responsible for teaching that, making sure that your people are aware of it. And it was clear going through this that the athletic department as a whole didn't know about, didn't understand this policy. And Rob has said he didn't know about it. It's clear that it wasn't just him. It was that department didn't understand. I mean, there were a lot of people in that department that could have reported this the correct way, and none of them did either.
And by you saying a lot of people in that department, because the first allegation wasn't made to Rob Spear, correct? It was made to a coach.
So yeah, so the November 2012 incident, that one was actually reported to the police department and the dean of students' office because the woman involved was not in the athletic department. It's a little still unclear who in the athletic department knew about that one. The second one that came up with the track runner, she reported it to at least three members of the athletic department, including two coaches. And that one, it doesn't appear, went anywhere. And then in Marin's case, she reported it to the police, to an advisor in the athletic department. But over a couple week span, obviously Rob Spear knew about it. The advisor knew about it. Her coach knew about it. I think I'm forgetting somebody, but there were quite a few people within the athletic department that knew this had happened. And, you'd think if there was a great deal of understanding of the rules, somebody would have stood up and said, hey, we're supposed to report this to the dean of students' office, and nobody did.
But is there an argument to be made in what you just said? If the policy was widely known, if the policy was understood, because isn't that Rob Spear's argument?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. You know, for me, spending so much time covering athletics, I always kind of think of the athletic department as sort of this its own little world. And so it was interesting to me to hear him put some onus on the university to have trained him, where I kind of look more as an athletic director is like it's their responsibility to know these things and to train the people under them.
And that's what the Student Senate
right.
believes.
And so, but I think there is probably an argument there that, well, he has a boss and he needed to be – so – and what training went on, I don't know. And so that's still kind of an unanswered question that I think, you know, this investigation, I'm sure that's one of the things they're going to look at is, you know, did the university just drop the ball and not train people?
And where do we go from here then? Rob Spear is still on paid administrative leave, 60 days, correct? So first part of June, we should hear something about that?
Yeah, so their hope is that they can wrap it up by the end of the 60 days, which is early June. It would not surprise me if they didn't get it done in 60 days, if they just extended that by a week or two to, I think it's important to them to get this done before he comes back. They have hired a couple of investigators, but, you know, we're already down to, you know, whatever, 40 days. So mm-hmm. They're going to be pushing to get this done.
All right. Chad Kripe with the Idaho Statesman. Chad was the reporter who broke the story about the University of Idaho sexual assault investigation and mishandling. Chad, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.